Good morning, Auroville. This is Abhijit with you again, broadcasting live from Auroville Radio. And I'm back with my series on exploring education in arts, animation, and filmmaking. Today, I'll be exploring animation. In my last episode on animation, I had covered the Animation Hall of Fame, in which I had introduced you to the movers and shakers in the animation history during its golden age, and also introduced some of the key cartoon stars of the gallery of cartoon stars. Continuing with that, today I start with the stars who were primarily during the 50s onwards. So first one is Yogi Bear. Yogi Bear was created by Hanna-Barbera in 1959. TV star Yogi began his career as the middle cartoon in the Huckleberry Hound show, but became so popular that he was spun off into his own series in 1961. A freeloading inhabitant of Jellystone National Park and smarter than the average bear, Yogi is assisted in his picnic basket snatching by cub Bobo and thwarted at every turn by Ranger Smith. He starred in a feature-length movie, Hey There, It's Yogi Bear, in 1964. Rocky and Bullwinkle, created by Jay Ward and Alex Anderson for Ward Productions in 1959. Crazy characters, limited animation, and hilarious dialogue have sustained the popularity of the Flying Squirrel and the Dim-Witted Moose from the Frostbite Falls, Minnesota, for more than 30 years. Pursued by Russian spies Boris and Natasha, Rocky and Bullwinkle were voiced by June Foray and Bill Scott, respectively. Fred Flintstone, created by Hanna-Barbera in 1960. Yabba Dabba Doo! Fred is the head of network television's first primetime animated sitcom, The Flintstones. Originally voiced by Alan Reed, Fred was featured along with his wife Wilma, neighbors Barney and Betty, Rubble, and Dino in hundreds of episodes, as well as their first animated feature film, The Man Called Flintstone, in 1966. Pink Panther, created by Fritz Felling and Deputy Felling in 1964. This cool cat was created for the animated opening title in the Pink Panther movie, Blake Edwards' 1963 feature film starring Peter Sellers. The character was so appealing that the United Artists commissioned a series of pantomime theatrical shorts, the first of which, The Pink Fink, won an Academy Award. Henry Mancini composed the popular theme music. The Simpsons. Matt Groening is the creator of The Simpsons for Garci Films in 1990. This popular dysfunctional family began its Emmy-winning weekly series in 1990, but first appeared in short segments on The Tracy Ullman Show in 1987. The stories revolve around nuclear power plant worker and donut aficionado Homer Simpson, his housewife Marge, and their three kids, Bart, Lisa, and baby Maggie. Ren and Stimpy, created by John Kricfalusi for Nickelodeon in 1991. Happy Happy, Joy Joy, an asthmatic chihuahua and a hairball hurling cat make an unusual series of cartoons. Yak Shaving Day, The History Eraser Button, The Happy Helmet, A Toy Called Log, and Powered Toastman was but a few of the nutty concepts that made this show an instant success among the children and the adults equally. So that brings us to the end of all the cartoon stars in this beautiful gallery. Now I'm going to cover another topic called What Makes a Cartoon Great? All the characters and short/feature films that appeared in share a unique bond. Each has moved us with its humor or drama, touched us with its beauty or its charms, or enthralled us with its display of skill and art. Most of them were produced within an assembly line system under strict budget and time constraints, and with a single maintain: to entertain. But these extraordinary characters and films reached beyond their bounds. They were loved when they were first seen and have stood the test of time. They aren't just great cartoons, but great films, period. On par with any live-action counterparts. And they prove that great animation can affect us the same way any great filmmaking can. So what makes a cartoon great? Usually they are marked by a combination of factors, including concept, artwork, music, innovation, quality of animation, humor, and dialogue. It is as difficult to compare the primitive but charming Gertie the dinosaur with the wacky Quasi at the Cockaroo as it is to compare the films of Charlie Chaplin with those of Howard Hawks. But the genre is wide enough to encompass them both. Both accomplish what their artists set out to do with the skill and talent that set them apart. In the case of Gertie, it is the creation of a new type of animation no one had ever attempted before, along with the distinct personality of the character. In Quasi, it is a brilliant graphic style combined with offbeat and memorable humor. So let's get into all these points one by one. The first one that makes a cartoon great is originality. In some films, originality is the main claim to greatness. Without ignoring its intrinsic value, we can recognize that Gertie the Dinosaur would not have been admired and prized today, had it come in the middle of a long line of similar cartoons. It was startling because it broke new ground. Similarly, Gerald McBoing-Boing redefined an art form in 7 minutes. Because of its instant success, critical and popular, its style was copied by every studio. Steamboat Willie might not be the best of Disney shorts, but it was the first to use sound. And Chuck Jones's The Dover Boys earned a place because its graphic style paved the path for clever use of limited animation. Second point, artistry. In many more cartoons, skillful artistry is more important than originality. It was Walt Disney who brought the fine art to the world of animation, who moved it away from cartoonists and comic strip producers and brought European artistry to the field. The Old Mill is an example of this approach. When the mama bird places her wing over her chicks, you can feel her emotion in the finely drawn scene. When the rope on the mill breaks, you feel its tension. The bird looks like a real bird. But more so, the essence of the bird is captured in the drawings in a way that could never be achieved with photographs of a single bird. In Clock Cleaners, Disney's artists captured the perspective and depth of field, creating intricate cities that heightened the comic effect of the almost falling feeling. Expert drawing ability was used to very different effect in Coal Black, where wild, exaggerated drawings convey everything from manic energy to total exhaustion. In The Telltale Height, limited movement and stylized paintings take the audience into the mind of a madman. The cartoon's color scheme and gothic heaviness perfectly mirror the tone of the story and the madman's thoughts. Superman cartoons present a totally different type of drawing, more literal and less cartoony, with characters that seem almost real. Third point, animation. Animation drawings are more than just ink or paint on paper. They are created to produce motion, and their excellence is judged in relation to their conveyance of the motion. Vincent McKay's success was seen in his ability to make us see Gertie swallow and feel the weight of her jaws on the tree trunk. The animators of the band concert managed to make a tornado spin in time to music, with musicians and various inanimate objects such as trees and laundry joining in the frenzy. In Brave Little Taylor, two distinct types of animation excellence are shown. The dramatic action of Mickey sewing up the giant's sleeve and the simple dialogue of Mickey relating the tale are both riveting. The Man Who Planted Trees is a tour de force of fluid animation, with one scene flowing into another. Although the design is restricted, there are no cuts in this elaborate story. Fourth point, music. Music is often an important component of cartoons, ranging from classical, Corny Concerto, The Skeleton Dance, and What's Up Doc, to jazz, Minnie the Moocher, Rookie, Toot Toot. Cartoons are successful when animators are able to create perfect visual images to match the music, the exact story that brings the music into focus. Fifth point, humor. Even if we recognize and admire the artistry behind cartoons, it is usually their humor that we truly love. Often it is the humor of the unexpected, the gruff bulldog of Feed the Kitty falling in love with the ultra-cute kitten, Elmer Fudd in Watt's opera Doc appearing on stage as Viking Garp. In Der Führer's Face, it is the constant repetition of the swastika theme which appears in the clouds, telephone poles, and weather vanes. Several directors perfected the humor of excess. In Bad Luck Blackie, Tex Avery took a normal idea, a black cat crossing a dog's path, and expanded it until it achieved hilariousness. Each time the cat pops out, a larger and more ridiculous object tails on the dog's head. Often a single image captures an entire scene. When Daffy Duck turns into an eyeball in Book Review, it is not a random image. Clampett was found the one image that captures the character's state of mind. The scene is funny because the image is so wonderfully apt. Dialogue sometimes provides the fun, as in Jack Mercer's mumbling in Popeye, or Chuck Jones's immortal pronoun trouble in the sequence in Rabbit Seasoning. Humor often revolves around adult themes. Tex Avery was, of course, famous for bringing adult themes into cartoons, basing a series of cartoons which explored these themes in the 1940s. Similarly, Fleischer Studios also pursued these themes. And at one point of time, their character was actually censored by the Hays Commission. UPS Unicorn in the Garden, based on James Thurber's story about a married couple, makes another kind of adult statement. Personality. Some cartoons convey the personality of their animated stars with astonishing force. Perhaps none is as successful as Chuck Jones's Duck Amuck, which explores the slightly schizophrenic personality of Daffy Duck as he attempts to cope with the crazy world Bugs Bunny creates for him. The cartoon is almost stream of consciousness. The Big Snit brings us another married couple whose foibles and bickering, so obviously a part of their personalities, make us recognize their humanity. Lastly, concept. In some cases, it is the concept behind the character, the cartoon, that attracts us, reminding us that there are often ideas behind cartoons, that they are not simply random gags. Peace on Earth uses the medium to present a strong anti-war message. One Froggy Evening is a profound statement about man's inability to communicate and connect with other humans. And Bambi Meets Godzilla is all concept. Its genius lies in its ability to surprise us with its very simple idea in less than 2 minutes. Many of these cartoons are really not so very different from others made at about the same time. They use the same techniques, styles, and even characters. But sometimes, something about them manages to do that same thing much better, putting the elements together with a kind of artistic integrity, or adding some extra ingredient, or so much more of the same ingredients that they achieve that rare essence, the wholeness that makes them truly great. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.